Baruch, Shreichem Yisrael. This is really awesome. We just ended Shabbos. I feel like we just had Abdullah 15 minutes ago. This is very special. Thank you everyone for being here. This is a real Kiddush Hashem. Kama Bar the Rabbi. Really amazing. Shreichem. It was a long day, a beautiful day. It was a real day. So this is very special. Thank you guys. This is a real Kiddush Hashem. We're very grateful to Rav Kamenetsky, to Rebbetzin Kamenetsky, to the whole family for agreeing to be here tonight, to make this special effort to join us, to allow us the schus, of honoring the memory of Rav David Tzvi, Ben Rav Yosef, Rav David Kamenetsky, Zichrono Bracha. Rav Kamenetsky's younger brother is my roommate in YU for a semester. And I had the opportunity and the privilege to get to know Rav Kamenetsky a little bit. Also, when I used to go to friends in Teaneck, hang out in the youth minion, Kamenetsky was always a role model, a stately person. To paraphrase from Rav Aaron Kahn, speaking about his Rebbe, David Lushitz Atzal, Kulo Omer Kavod. Person whose entire essence, entire being was just kavod. He was a kavodic person, kavod Torah, respectful and respected by all. He was a master machanech, a master marbitz Torah, a person who impacted a generation in NCSY, in Teaneck, in the community, in day schools, MDS, and YNJ, and everywhere in between. Everyone who he interacted with felt his kavod, his kavod abrios, his kavod Torah, and it's a great honor for us to be able to share a little bit about Rav Kamenetsky this evening. I just want to state it directly, without having to there's no reason to beat around the bush. Besides for the importance of having Talmud Torah and a shir here to begin the Bein HaMetzarim with Limud Torah, and to come out of our first Shabbos with Amalav Malka, besides for the opportunity to have a chance to get together and learning tonight. This tzibur, you, us, we're here, a self-selected group, we're taking time out on a Motzei Shabbos after an exhausting Shabbos, the first couple days of camp. We're dedicating your time for Limud HaTorah. In the context of dedicating a summer of Mesiras Nefesh for others, there really is, it's hard to find a group like this to express the importance of considering a life, a professional life, of being dedicated to Klal Yisrael. And we say it all the time, over and over and over again. We're consciously incubating leadership here. To consider, in hearing some of the reflections that are about to be shared, the impact that a person can have as a marbitz Torah, as a mechanech, as a role model in the world, professionally and otherwise. That's the stated goal of tonight. For you to be actively considering ways and thinking about ways to share Torah with the world, to spread Torah, to be marbak kod shamayim in our personal lives, as well as in our personal choices. We're at a very critical juncture in life, thinking about what's going to be, what to do professionally, and how to impact the world. And I think that it'll be a great schus. And Ilui Nishmas, Rav David Tzvi, Ben Rav Yosef, it was a machanech, I'm a family of Machanachim. And tonight we'll hear from a Machanach, who is the son of a Machanach, to consider that. We're so, so grateful to the Kamenetskys for being here tonight. And we're so appreciative that you give us the opportunity to host tonight's program and share. Thank you.
First of all, tremendous yashikar to Rabbi Judah, Shwita, for organizing such a beautiful night, Makaba Yuli Nishmas of Imori, the Tanakh of Racha, Rav David Tzvi, Rav Yosef, Harini Kaparas Mishkava. My father never officially worked for Camp Haas, but I really feel like the mission of this camp is exactly who my father was in every way. like some of the things that you just heard. It's also so special, as Rajuda mentioned, so special that so many of you came out of here to hear Divrei Torah, to honor my father's memory, and to learn Torah le'ilui nishmasa. I don't have the words, honestly, to thank Rajuda, to thank Ken Hess, to thank each one of you for coming to study Torah in memory of my father, to give his neshama an aliyah. Rishus, Rabbi Panach, Rabbi Judah, other Rabbanim. Pasuk says in Kohelas, Tov Alecha Sal Beis Edel, Milecha Sal Beis Mishnah. Hashem Sof Kol Adam, Achai Yitain El Yivo. Tonight begins the 3 weeks thinking about Avelos, about Chorban. Today marked the Shloshim of my father. And thinking about Chorban, when I was a kid, I remember it was not a pleasant time of year. When you're a kid, you don't like the 3 weeks, the 9 days, like, just like, can't we get this over with already? But the Navi tells us it's actually Tov Alecha Sal Beis Edel. It's actually a positive thing to think about Korban, to think about that which we don't have and that which we really want to have. And to think about someone who has left, and honestly, because I also want to so much thank those, or everybody who offered those very, very special words on behalf of my family, on behalf of my father. I want to offer tremendous thanks to each one of you for sharing those very, very special vignettes. But to think about someone who passed, and it was a little too soon for us, it was very unexpected. My father was at YNJ the day he was nifter. It was very, very unexpected. He was in very good health. But the fact that he was taken in such a dramatic way, actually, I think, has caused a lot of people to think more about who he was. You know, had he lived another 20, 25 years, he had been retired, people would have forgotten about him. People probably wouldn't have thought so much about what his life was about. But a lot of people, and I can tell you that my family, we had no idea. My mother had no idea. The children, we had no idea. My father had no idea how many people he impacted, how many people were affected by him. And I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about why I think that was, and what I think each one of us can take from my father's life, to take that, those midos, and some of, maybe one particular aspect of who he was, to take it forward. So, Tov Lalecha Sal Beis Edel, V'achai Yitein Elibo. The live people, the people who are still alive, are supposed to learn from that life and take it further. Last week, Rashi quoted Amar Rabbi Ami Lama Nisuch HaMisas Miriam L'Parshas Parah Aduma. Why was the death of Miriam stated next to Parah Aduma? Lomar Lach, Ma Parah Aduma Mechaperes, Af Misasim Shel Tzadikim Mechaperes. I was at a bar mitzvah this week, and someone said to me, your father was a gadol in midos. He was a gadol in midos. He studied Torah, he was a Talmid Chacham. No, I wouldn't call him necessarily a gadol batorah, but he was a gadol for sure in midos. Af misasim shel tzadikim mechaperes. The death of righteous people atones. Now, at first glance, one could ask a question, just like the Parah Aduma atones, so to the death of the tzaddik atones, like how exactly does that work? Like, oh, you have all of us, they have 1,000 people who have averes, so God kills off one tzaddik. Okay, so one tzaddik, that's like he took 1,000 people. Like, is that God's calculus? That's the way it works? Like, one big rabbi is worth 1,000 regular people. It sounds very, very strange. Like, really? Like,
Like, oh, he could have killed out 1,000 of us, but he killed out one side. What does that mean? Misa Sanim Chadrach. So the Torah Tzmima is bothered by that. I actually didn't know this Torah Tzmima, but Rabbi Donald Bixen from Florida at an Askara in memory of my father quoted this. And Donald Bixen is a kid who went to public school, grew up in Ridgewood, New Jersey, went to public school throughout elementary school and high school, and became firm in New Jersey NCSY in high school through his relationship with my brother, who used to say Kriya Shema on the phone with him every night in high school, and who, through his coming to my Shabbos table and interacting with my father and my brother and our family, and so he spoke at this Askara, and he quoted this Torah, which I had never heard, and it's a beautiful idea. He says, it doesn't mean that the death of a tzaddik wipes off the sins of 1,000 people. How does that work? It doesn't make any sense. What it means is, if you think about a tzaddik and show honor to a tzaddik at his levaya and post the levaya and start talking about the tzaddik and thinking about and showing honor to what he stood for and learning from what he stood for and inculcating in your life what he stood for, then I understand. Misa tzaddikim chaperes. If we all grow from learning about a tzaddik and internalizing what a tzaddik meant, that makes sense. Misa tzaddikim chaperes. So says the Torah Tzmim. As I said, I really believe that my father was a gadol in midos. You heard, my father was a very, very humble person. He was a director of a camp for 30 years. And what he used to do in camp was he used to pick up the papers on the fields of the camp when they would ask the little kids, who's that guy who ran the camp? I said, what is he doing, Kim? He said, oh, he's the janitor. He picks up the garbage from the fields. There was no job in camp that was too low for my father to do. My father was a very humble person. He never called attention to himself. He didn't wear fancy clothing. He didn't eat fancy foods. He didn't go out to restaurants. He didn't go on vacations. He didn't drive fancy cars. He didn't live in a fancy house. He's a very humble person. I want to talk tonight about the Midah that I think my father excelled in more than any other Midah. I want to try to explain to you why I think this Midah is one of the most important Midahs for a Jew to have, period. I believe that this Midah, very, very strongly, is what Camp Hask is all about. And I think it's very appropriate to talk about it tonight. Take a look at source 4. Today we read about Bilam. So Mishnah says, if you have three things, you're a student of Avram. If you have three other things, you're a student of Bilam. What do you need to have a student from Avram? And this is really going to be the topic of the shiur. Ayin Tova. Beruach Nemucha Penefesh Shefala. A lowly spirit, a good eye, right? I'm not sure the girls are going to, I'm used to talking to boys, but hopefully the girls experience this also. I'm not sure how many girls play in the Little League, or we heard somebody did make the basketball team, or the girls play the baseball team, but you know, sometimes the batter gets up, the first inning, gets up, and the pitcher throws, and it's a ball. And the batter is ready to, but he holds back. So when they say that, what does one on the side say? Good eye. The girls know nothing. Good eye. Good eye. So you have to have a good eye. Ayin Tova. If you're a student, Avram, you have to have an Ayin Tova, a good eye. What does that mean, an Ayin Tova? Very unclear. Ruach and Mucha, a humble spirit, Nefesh Shefela. You're a student of Avram. An Ayin Ra, a bad eye, Ruach Gevola, an arrogant spirit, Nefesh Shechava. You always want more and more and more. You tell me good shall Bilam Harash. So what does Ayin Tova mean? Says Rashi, Ayin Tova, She'en lo kina al chaveiro, you have no jealousy on your friend. The chaveiro of kavod chaveiro kichvodo. You don't have jealousy. Sometimes in a camp atmosphere, when everybody is like together 24-7, or yeshiva in Israel, or a seminary, everyone's together all the time, it's very, very easy to start looking at the other person and saying, you know, I wish I had the looks of the other person, the charisma of the other person, the money of the other person, the talent of the other person, the yirshamayim of the other person, the ability to learn. Everybody's always looking. It's very easy. It's natural. It's natural. But we know the Mishnah says, kinna, jealousy is a very bad thing. Very, very bad thing. So you'll see in a second, just you can sneak ahead just for 1 second in the Maamar Komos. Sneak ahead. There's a Mishnah that says that this is, look at source 8 for a second. Abraham, what's the path? What's the most important path for a person to be Mizdavikin? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ayin Tova. This is the most important path, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's the most important thing for a person to chase in life. Because if you live your life always worrying about what the other person has, you will have no rest. Because there's always somebody that's a little better looking, that has a little more money, that has a little more brains, that has a little more talent, a little more ability. If you're always jealous, you will have no peace in life. So Ayin Tova Rashi says, Ein lo kinah al chaveiro. And the Magen Avos says it. He also says, the Rashi also says, you like it. Not only are you not jealous, but when your friend gets honored, when your friend does well, you're actually rejoicing in something that your friend does. And the commentary of Magen Avos of the Rashi says, right? Bilam saw Matovo Alecha Yaakov. He saw the Jewish people living in their tents, living so peacefully and harmoniously together. He saw the Jewish people. Life was good for them. And what was his reaction? I want to curse them. I'm so angry. Bilam was somebody who was upset that life was good for the Jewish people. Unfortunately, things haven't changed with the nations of the world until today. The nations of the world are jealous of us. But it's not just the nations of the world. Some of us don't feel good when somebody else, something good happens to somebody else. Bilam was made silent of us, and it pained him that the Jewish people were succeeding. The Ratz of a Kabbalah. As we heard, my father was someone who was sameach. When you had a simcha, if something was going well in your life, my father rejoiced at your simcha like it was his own simcha. He so much rejoiced at the simcha of other people. You just heard it. When you got a good job on a test, when you did a good job on a test, I had 70 sixth graders outside my house during the Shiva. 76th graders. And I went around, I was talking to them, I said, tell me something about my father. So this one said, your father used to smile at me every morning when he shook my hand, and he gave me a big smile every morning when he said good morning to me. And another one said, your father walked very, very far to my bar mitzvah. And another one said, I wasn't doing so well on the test, and I got, whenever I would do well on the test, your father would give me a fist pump. A 73-year-old man is supposed to be able to relate to 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds and 9-year-olds? It's against every educational book, every educational philosophy that was published. You have to be courageous. You have to be aware of it. You got my father didn't have Facebook or Instagram or social media. How is he related to 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds? Because he had an ingredient. He had a secret ingredient. He simply loved all the kids. And the kids felt it from him. And that's not something you could fake, especially to kids. You could maybe fake it to adults, but you can't fake out kids on this kind of a thing. A kid knows who's being sincere and who's just going through the most no emotions because they have to. My father didn't have jealousy. He honestly loved when other people succeeded. My father was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease 2 years before he died. But it didn't slow him down. It slowed him down a little bit. He couldn't walk. He couldn't walk so well. And he was totally towards the last day of his life. He led Dr. the last day of his life. it was hard for him to walk, but he still walked 4 miles a day, and he still walked to all the kids' bar mitzvahs. It didn't stop him. He knew he had to be there. Even if there was 3 bar mitzvahs in one morning, he'd walk to one, walk to another. Someone just told me this weekend, on Shabbos we were in Camp Cayley, someone told me this weekend that Rabbi Bernstein, who's like my father's, he worked with my father, so he lives in Muncie. He never went to any of the Shabbos bar mitzvahs. I don't know where Rabbi Price lives. Where does he live? To say. Also, he's not going to lead every Shabbos. My father was the only one of the administrators who would go to the bar mitzvahs. So my father just passed away 2 weeks ago, so some kids will have the bar mitzvahs now. So all these poor kids, they said, it became like a thing. Rabbi Kalitz, he's got to come to you bar mitzvah. He's got to dance with you in the middle. So these kids felt, so Rabbi Bernstein had to come for Shabbos. He had to come to Tinek this past Shabbos. He was in Tinek for Shabbos because he felt badly. And it became such a thing, Rabbi Kalinetsky couldn't go to the bar mitzvah. So one of the administrators had said he left his whole family and came for Shabbos and spent. So somebody should be there. But my father had developed this mahalach that every kid is important. Every student is important. You have to show everybody covered. He was not meitzah b'tavos and shabrius. He rejoiced b'tavos and shabrius. The Rambam has a little bit of a different shot in Ayin Tova. Kvar v'yarnu is source number 7. Kvar v'yarnu kama pamish Ayin Tova ha-histapkos. Ha-histapkos. The Rambam understands Ayin Tova means that you're not always looking for more. My father was very, very much a mistopic lord. He was unbelievably regimented, my father. He was unbelievably structured. Every day he did Daf Yomi twice a day. He did Mishnah Yomi, Halacha Yomi, Tehillim Yomi every single day. When it came to food especially, he was mistopic. I mentioned before he drove with 15-year-old car, he lived in, for most of his life, an old, small house. He didn't buy new clothing, he didn't go on vacations. He was a mistopic divorce. He realized that the gashmius of the world is not what's important. And Bilam was somebody who always wanted more and more and more money. Zav v'chesed. And he keeps saying, if you give me all the gold and silver of the world, so Chazal said that was what was on his head. He was somebody who cared about the gold and silver. My father was not like that, he was a mistopic. My father ate pretty much the same thing every day. He ate in the cafeteria, in the dining room of camp, whatever they served him. He had the exact same food as anybody else. He never had an air conditioner in his office. He never had it for 30 years at camp. He says, the kids don't have an air conditioner and the director shouldn't have an air conditioner. I mentioned he would pick up the garbage at camp. He was a very humble person. I'm sure many of you know Rabbi Neuberger. His son, Dovi Neuberger, told me the following story at the Shiva house. He said, at YNJ, I think it's in the 7th grade, they had a trip to Philadelphia. And my father, until he was 72, 73, until the last year of his life, was still chaperoning the elementary school trips. Go figure. So he, of course, took them to Philadelphia. So I said, at the Shiva house, I said, my father was like the Zaidi of YMJ. He was like the Zaidi of YMJ. So Dovi Neuberger said to me, it's not true. It wasn't the Zaidi of YMJ. And I'll tell you a story to prove it. So we went on the Philadelphia trip. So we went to visit Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. Look at this, the cousin of our family. He's a big couple of Batola, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, the son of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And so we went to visit Rav Shmuel, all the YMJ kids, so we were all sitting down, and Rabbi Kalinetsky was standing up. So Rav Shmuel, the Gadol HaDor, addressed us, and he started by saying, you know, boys, it's a little strange that all of you are sitting and your Rebbe is standing. And Dovi says, all of us guys, 7th grade, we looked at each other and said, what's he talking about? Like, why is that strange that we're sitting and Rabbi K is standing? Rabbi K is like, he's like our buddy, he's like our older brother, he's not a Zaidi, he's like one of us, he's one of the guys. Okay, he was there, man. Like, that's a good deal. Like, you know, yeah.
They didn't view him as like a rabbi, as like a zaydi, as like someone who needs kavod.
My father was allergic to kavod. My father never once asked for his own kavod, never looked for his own attention. He was like a big brother to the kids, almost. But the truth is, Ayin Tova, the real reason I wanted to speak about Ayin Tova tonight was not because of Rashi or the Magen Avos or the Rambam's God, all of which were correct about my father. But I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about what Camp Pass stands for. I'm talking about what my father stood for, and my father's godless and chinuch, and what I think is really the most important perspective that every single Jew, and I really think that when Rabbi Elazar was talking in that Mishnah, in Source 8, that's the next source. Eizu derech yishara, tsu'uru, go out and see. Eizu derech yishara, she gave my daughter, Rabbi Elazar says, Ayin Tova. Ayin Tova means something else.
I'm sure in this camp
you've heard some stories about Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Lieber Bishop. Something, I have this feeling, some sense that maybe you might have heard a story or two about Sanigora and Shel Yisrael, the defender of the Jewish people. They say that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak one time was walking and he saw a guy outside the shul fixing his horse and cart with his tefillin on. So the Hasidim said to Rabbi Yitzchak, look at this guy in the middle of davening with his tefillin. He's going and fixing his horse and cart. So Rabbi Yitzchak turned his head to the Shemayim and said, Master of the universe, Rabbi Shalom, look how holy the Jews are. Even while they fix their horse and cart, they're still praying. Rabbi Yitzchak always had a positive view of all Jews. Ayin Tova also means, the Maharal says like this, Ayin Tova means a positive eye. Someone who always sees the good in people. Someone who always sees the good in every situation in life. Now, this situation of having your father suddenly pass away is very jarring and shocking. I'm somebody who I inherited from my parents. Usually I have a very, very positive outlook on life. I'm very much an optimist. I always try to look at things positively. And this is like, this has been a little difficult for me, honestly, because this is a shock. We weren't ready for it. We weren't expecting it. And my father and I weren't people who spoke on the phone every day. We used to speak every Erev Shabbos, but not every day. It wasn't my father's way. And the first thing I want to urge everybody, all of you to do, all your parents should live till 120 years, but as soon as I'm finished speaking, I want you all to go outside, call your parents, and tell them that you love them. Because you never know how long it's going to be. And I didn't have a chance to say goodbye to my father. Although I think, and I know, that my father understood what a special relationship that we had. I know that he knew that. But my father lived life such an optimist. And my parents, the cup wasn't half full. The cup was like 99% full. My father had a lot of things that he struggled with in life, not just the Parkinson's and other illnesses, but he has a sibling who has a lot of challenge in helping in various situations. He's had a lot of things, but you would never know it from speaking to my father. He's always positive, always b'simcha. And honestly, his attitude, and l'hamdul bin chayim l'chayim, my mother's attitude is what's carrying the family through this difficult time. Because they had such an ayin tova, my father had and my mother has, such an ayin tova about life, such a positive view of life. Take a look at source number 9. Maybe just take a look at the bolded part. this Ayin Tova. I'm starting to bold now. Ki mi she'yesh lo Ayin Tova, ki mi she'o she'goy bala tov amen, she'ein davar she'rovim ha'adam kmo zos. Ki kol she'a v'chol rega lo ha'itzel b'nei adam o'sher u'gidula u'sham ma'elos ve'eino tova b'abrios.
Someone learns how to look at every other person positively, to see the good in every other person, to be happy when every other person is successful, to look at life in such a positive way, and even when things are challenging or difficult, and even when you're having a rough day with a certain kid, or there's a challenge, or there's a social challenge, or there's a learning challenge, or that, whatever the challenge might be. He has a number of explanations, but someone who has an Ayin Tova will live his life always besimcha, always seeing the good in people. If my father was a gadol amidos, in Ayin Tova he was like the superstar. He never met a child that he didn't like. He never met a Jew or a non-Jew that he didn't like. He never met a child that he didn't only see potential in, only see greatness. He didn't see any challenge. He always saw only the good. He always saw potential and promise. We heard the story of the Shiva House. There was once a kid in Manhattan Day School who did a very, very, very bad thing. He did something very, very bad. And they had a teacher's meeting. And all the teachers, maybe there were like 20 or 30 teachers in the room. And the meeting lasted for about 2 or 3 hours. And in the whole meeting, my father listened to every single teacher tell him what their opinion was, their description, and their reason, what they thought they should do with the kid. Every single teacher said the kid should be asked to leave the school. And it was a 2 or 3 hour meeting. And after the meeting, my father said, okay, I heard each one of your opinions. Now I'm going to think about it. So one of the teachers was very upset about this. Came to my father and said, I can't listen. You just heard from every single teacher. What's there to think about it? It was 20 to nothing. There was nothing. What's there to think about it? My father never raised his voice, ever. People who work with him, he never raised his voice. I can't remember ever hearing him ever raise his voice. Maybe once or twice in my lifetime I heard him raise his voice. He never yelled, he never got angry. But the teacher said they could see, in a rare case, he was getting a little bit, he calmed himself down. He said to the teacher, he said, this child's life is on my hands. It's my decision. I heard each one of you. I heard each one of you say, and now I have to think about it. This is my decision. I take this decision very seriously. And the life of this child, the future, I take it, this is my decision. And I heard you have to say that. I want to think about it. He thought about it for 2 days, and he convened another meeting 2 days later, and he told the teachers that the boy's not being asked to leave the school, but there's going to be very, very strict guidelines and conditions, and they put in the guidelines and conditions, and the kid finished out the year, and he graduated from Manhattan Day School, and he went on to High School, and he very well, and went to Israel, and he was successful, and a couple of years after he had to be in New York, my father was no longer in Manhattan Day School, he came back to Manhattan Day School to visit, and he found his 8th grade Rebbe, Rabbi Gold, who told him the story of the Shiva, and Rabbi Gold said, the kid came back, he had like tzitzis out, he was firm, and he had a family, and he was living half a day, working half a day or something. And Rabbi Gold said, I didn't want to tell him that I was one of the teachers that voted against him. But he said that the kid came back to him. He said, where's Rabbi Kaminsky? I want to give him thanks for keeping me in the yeshiva. My father always saw the good in people. The Maharal in source number 10 adds that, you know, it's interesting, sight, the Maharal says, of all the 5 senses, sight is the only one that's subjective. And you know what, going back to baseball, so there's a close play at second base and you always have 9 people yell out, 9 people yell safe.
How could that be? They all saw the same thing, but you see what you want to see.
Seeing, two people can see the same thing, and one person saw one thing, one person sees something else.
Nonsense.
He explains that's why seeing, in Gemara also, you see, I see your point. I see your point. Seeing doesn't always mean seeing with your eyes. Seeing also means you see with your brains. I see your point. So, my father used his brains to see. He didn't just see, but was on the outside. He saw, he looked. He looked inside. This view of always seeing the good in people. You can have other principals or other teachers can see negative, and my father saw positive. They were looking at the same person. But my father had a certain generosity of vision and generosity of spirit, and he was able to see the whole person. And he was able to see the good. And only the good. And I said before, that's the way my father looked at life. The world was 99%, the cup was 99% full. And that's why he was always with Simcha. And that's what's helping my family deal with this difficult, sudden, young, relatively young man. My father was 73. And this is why Avraham Avinu, who had the Ayin Torah, tried to even defend the city of Sodom. Right? What came out of him with the ability to see good and stone? Ayin Tova. He only saw the good. He only saw the positive. This mita of only seeing the positive is also, of course, the idea behind the Midrash about don't judge your friend until you get to this place. Have you done this? I want to look at the Baal Shem Tov in Source 17, talking about the Pasuk in Tehillim in Source 16, the Kol Pishai Hatzareini, Cher Pasdav Alal Tisimeini, the Baal Shem Tov says, someone who constantly talks negative about other people and looks for the negative in other people and is always pointing out that mita v'guvan of the other person, he's really pointing that out in himself. There's certain people that get enjoyment and they always have a natural tendency to always see the negative. And again, in a camp setting, sometimes they have everybody together. It's very easy to notice the faults of other people. It's very easy. We tend to be very, very good at noticing the faults of other people. Oh, this person's arrogant, and this person's full of themselves, and this person's not a nice person, this person's never doing the right thing, this person's not dominant, this person's not learning, this person missed this, missed that, is not fulfilling his obligations with the children. And the Baal Shem Tov writes, and such a person, we know the Gemara says in Source 15, call out posel, the wicked person. Sounds a little strange. Anyone who put somebody else down, they're putting somebody else down about something that is a mita that's actually found in themselves. And the Baal Shem Tov, I'm not going to go through the whole piece now. He basically explains that anyone who is someone who's always putting other people down with a certain thing, what really is going on, if you analyze it deep inside, is he's pointing out this mita himself, he's actually causing himself to have it zeroed in against this bad mita. You have to be very, very careful about that. Never to look at negative mitas in people. Never to look at the negative. Never to speak negatively. Never to find... That's Ayin Ra. That was Bilam. He looked to try to curse the Jewish people. He saw a beautiful text, Matomo Malecha Yaakov. He saw Shoshan Mishvada and he tried to figure out a way. Because I'll say even he was Miyayetz that Balak should get them involved in the Arayas. And ultimately, that was a big downfall for Klal Yisrael. He always looked to try to see the bad. And I want to close with one final idea. It's a long piece of Likutei Maharan that you could do for homework. But I want to summarize very briefly because there's another Ayin Tova that a person has to have. I talked about the Ayin Tova that always seeing the good in other people. The cameras of Camp Hass to always be able to see the good in your campers, to see them as a neshama tahora,
That's what you guys are all about. This summer is a training about Ayin Tova. It's a training to always see good in other people, to speak well of other people, to talk positively, to see the good in people. So we talked about seeing the good in other people, and we talked about seeing the good in life. Entering into the period of the 3 weeks, we know Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Senas Chinam, the second Beis HaMikdash, trying to be mad at more Ayin Tova in the world, to only see the good in people, to see the positive. But there's a third Ayin Tova that a person has to have. That's where Rav Nachman talks about in society. First he starts talking about how you have to always, I feel, look at the first line, I feel Mishu Russia, Gomer, even someone who's a Russian, you have to be able to find something good in the person. And that will actually elevate a person. If we can train ourselves to always see the good in the people who we don't like and don't think are so good, if we can look at the good in them, they'll ultimately begin to view themselves as good, and that's what's ultimately going to lift them up. That's what he teaches in the first paragraph. But then he says, the Chaitzah of Argument, so down by Atzmo. We have to have an Ayin Tova about ourselves. We have to believe in ourselves. We have to see the good in ourselves. And so many of us, myself included, walk through life always thinking about how what we've not accomplished, and how we haven't done enough, and how we haven't been enough, and how we haven't, we think we want to become the Talmud Chacham, and we want to be in that, we haven't learned enough. And we want to become the Shemayim, and our Davening is still telling us how we can't even focus on that. And we want to become a Baal Chesed, and I can't even make it through a day in Camp Pass. And I want to be someone who speaks nicely, and I find myself stumbling in this. And we focus all day long on what we're not doing now, we're not accomplishing, and how we're not doing. Says Rav Nachman. Some of us, that's the perspective we have about ourselves. A person has to have belief in themselves, belief in their own kohos, to always have a positive attitude, not just about other people, not just about life, but about yourself, about your own co-hosts, about your own abilities. And if today things didn't go so well, tomorrow, Bez Hashem, it'll be better. My father only saw the good in people. He helped kids see the good in themselves. This guy came to the Shiva house. When he was 10 years old, he had to watch his father die in front of his eyes. And he never recovered from it. He was way off. In Kembangan Avraham, where I grew up in the summers, my father was the director there. Before it was popular to have special needs kids mainstream in camps, Bangana wasn't known as a camp for special needs kids, but I had a kid in my bunk who was deaf, and a kid in my bunk and this kid was in my bunk, who was deaf. And we were 10, 11-year-olds. And this kid did a lot of crazy things. And as the summer wore on, he started getting under a lot of kids' skin. And we were 10, 11 years old, we didn't know how to deal with it. And one night, we finally got so he would like bother people. He would like at 11 o'clock at night start screaming at the top of his lungs and waking up the whole bunk. And gradually, one time, there was one night where we just got sick of it and we bothered him and we chased him out of the bunk and he was crying and he ran away from the bunk and he was crying and crying and crying. And I remember the counselor came into the bunk and the counselor let us have it. The counselor said, "You know what this kid went through? How dare you? How dare you make fun of this kid?" And make a long story short, we both came back to the bunk, and from that moment on, this boy was the king of our bunk. Everybody in our bunk gave him cover. Everybody in our bunk, we gave him all. He always, like, he was allowed, he had got to take the food first. He was He was the, you know, he always hit a home run every time he got up. But like, you know, this was the kid who, and this guy, he still hasn't fully recovered. He's a growing man today. He came to the sugar house and he said, "Your father made me feel like a human being. Your father gave me life." My father's godless as a mechanic, and I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with one following, the last point. Rabbi Yossi Adler, some of you may know him, he's the rabbi of Rina Yisrael, the principal of TABC, very close to my father for 50 years. He lives three houses away from my father. When my father was nifta, my mother discovered him, and the morning he was nifta, so Rabbi Adler came over to the house at 5 o'clock in the morning to stay with my mother. And my brother came and my sister-in-law. Then Rabbi Adler's been very sick lately, so he, unfortunately, he got sick again. He couldn't come to the shul call because he sat shul Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He was in the hospital all 3 days. He had pneumonia. Thursday morning, he got out of the hospital late Wednesday night. Thursday morning, he came into the house and addressed Avema before that. He said, "I can't stay. I can't do the shul call. But I want to tell you what the Rav of Salvation used to say on the words, 'Hamakom Yinachem Esther.' The Rav said, 'Hamakom Yinachem Esther' means, you know, normally the Gemara says that a father, Arishi to Makom, you're not allowed to sit in your father's makom. Or Al Tabin is Havarash, Akil Makom. You're not supposed to judge a person until you get to his makom. So during your life, you're not supposed to fill your father's makom. But once your father leaves, you're supposed to try to get into your father's makom. Or when a tzaddik leaves, you're supposed to try to get into his makom. What does it mean to get into his makom? It means take some Hanahava Torah that he used to do. Take some learning that he used to like to learn. Take one mindset that he used to make it yours. And if you do it daily in the Shmasa, that's going to be the Chavah. If you can get into his Makom a little bit, get into his Makom after he dies, that'll be the Chavah. The Makom Yinachem Esther. Because if you do something to him, you're doing two things. Number one, you're becoming better because of him. Number two, wherever he is, he's getting an healing Neshama because of the Maisim that you're doing. HaMakom Yinachem Esther. If you get into that Makom, that'll be the Chavah. So I'm trying to do two things to get into my father's Makom. The first thing is I'm bully nether, and hopefully take it by myself, and dafyomi. My father did it twice a day. I always wanted to try to at least go a few shots or one time, whatever, and try to find a time to do dafyomi in his memory. But the other thing that I've been trying to do since he passed away was, when my father was talking to you, and this is his secret, this is what all the kids love, and this is his secret, when my father was talking to you, he didn't look past you to know who else was in the room or who else might have been around. But my father was told that you were the only person in the room. He gave you his full attention. My father truly cared about every person he met. He was able to not only have an ayin tova to look positively on you, but he looked at you. He had an ayin tova, meaning he looked at you. He looked straight at you. He cared about you. He loved you. Rabbi Fendel, was a rabbi who started the West Hempstead community. He was a principal of Hank for 30 years. My son married his granddaughter, or Judah's niece, in January. And Fidel, who's 90 years old, he walks with a walker. Not only did he come to the Levaya at Eretz Chaim, he felt the need to come back on most of the Shabbos to pay a shemekul. And he said to me, "Let me tell you what your father's secret in chinuch was." And people have to apologize because people today don't know this in chinuch. Your father says, "Why was he so much?" My father was a principal for 40 out of the 50 years he was in chinuch. Everybody loved him. Not because he's my father. Ask anybody who went to the police. Everybody loved him. What was my father's secret in chinuch? Very simple. He simply loved all the people. He loved all the kids. Really, he didn't have to show love. He actually did love them. You were the only person that mattered. When he talked to you, you were the only person that mattered. That's another thing that I'm trying to take from my father's life. I wasn't so much like that. I'm always too busy, I'm always running, I'm always too pressured. I don't have always the time to give everybody the full attention. If I could ask everybody here to try to take one thing into their life, should be nearly the shabbat for my father, it would be the ayin tova, to see the good people, but at least I am tova to when you're talking to somebody. That relationship matters. I said, we had no idea how many people my father affected. We had no idea. My mother had no idea. My father had no idea how many people were impacted. I'm not saying this. It's not. One night in the shiva, I never went to a shiva house where there was a line of 100 people out the door, halfway down the block, just to get into the house to say hamakom. We had no idea. He was a simple man. He wasn't a complicated man. He wasn't a gun. He was a simple man who actually just cared about every single person, every single interaction he ever had with a person. Hours later, I can tell you stories about the gun that he impacted, but whatever it is. So you can see the videos if you want. You want to know more. There's videos online about him. So again, it's on behalf of my family. Such a kara satoter of Judah, who's the king of Ayin Tova. Judah is the king of Ayin Tova, only sees the good in every person, in every situation. From Trent's kara satoter of Judah to the whole Camp Hass staff, to each one of you for taking all your time out on the Muzi Shabbos side. I'm so humbled by coming out to hear some words, to learn some Torah together, the Yubavishas, my father. Mr. Hashem, if we could all take the midos of people like my father and other people who have good midos, who always speak well about people, who always say nice things about people, always only see good in people, who aren't jealous of other people, and who Mr. Hashem will be able to roll back this terrible Zayah that we've been living with, that we're starting tonight to commemorate and to memorialize in the 3 weeks. We'll be able to fix the Sinaschina with Avaschina, which we still have time to. Yeshua is a gurus. Maybe I'll be zochah, hopefully soon, to see my father again. Chias Amesa, may the day come and may it be a meal of me. Thank you very much for listening.